The book of Romans and chapter 8. I read a story about a fellow named Bob Sheffield. He was a professional hockey player. Anybody here enjoy watching hockey? Really? Yeah? Sometimes the fight stops and a hockey game breaks out. Have you ever noticed that? But anyway, Bob Sheffield was one of those kind of guys who loved to fight. And he was always in the middle of a brawl. And not only did he fight when he was on the ice, he loved to fight anywhere. And eventually, on one occasion, in a barroom brawl, they were fighting and he found himself arrested. He found himself imprisoned. And he found himself with a jail record. Some years later, Bob and his wife, Nancy, both of them were saved and became members on the staff of a organization called Navigators. You may be familiar with them. It's a discipleship ministry. And they began working with the Navigators there in the U.S. And, of course, in order to do that, Bob had to apply for landed immigrant status, which would allow him and his wife to continue their ministry in the U.S. However, he's got a jail record. And because of his record, he would not be approved. The request was denied. After exhausting every effort to get beyond his criminal record, they finally decided to take a long shot. They decided that they would apply in Canada for what is called the Queen's Pardon. The Queen's Pardon. After a thorough investigation, the pardon was finally granted. It was finally granted, and Bob Sheffield received an official notice in the mail, which basically said this, and I'll read a part of it to you. It says, "Whereas we have since been implored on behalf of the said Robert Jones Sheffield to extend a pardon to him in respect to the convictions against him, and whereas the Solicitor General here submitted a report to us, now know ye therefore, having taken these things into consideration, that we are willing to extend the royal clemency on Robert Sheffield. We have pardoned, remitted, and released him of every penalty to which he was liable in pursuance thereof." Now, from the very moment that he received that document, whenever Bob was asked to fill out a government form, and on there was the question, "Do you have a criminal record?" he could honestly say, "No." Because why? He'd been pardoned. He had received the official pardon from the Queen. He was released from any possible punishment for the crime committed, and even the record of those crimes had been cleansed away. They had been washed away. As believers in Jesus Christ, did you know we have received the same thing? Did you know that? As believers in Christ, we've received the same thing. We have received not a Queen's pardon, we received the King's pardon. We received the King's pardon, and we have been notified of that pardon in a letter. Did you know that? Did you get the mail? Yeah, we've been notified in a letter, and the letter was not delivered by the post office. The letter was delivered right here in God's Word. That's where it's at. And so you found the text now, Romans chapter 8. And I want you to know that this chapter, Romans chapter 8, it is a wonderful chapter. In fact, Bible scholars, commentators, even pastors have all united in their opinion that this is the greatest chapter in all of the Bible. In fact, one fellow wrote and he put it this way. He said, "If the Bible were a cluster of precious jewels, the book of Romans would be the diamond in the center of the cluster. And this eighth chapter would be the sparkling tip of the diamond." In other words, This is wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff that we're going to see here. Someone has asked, as we has added, that we enter this chapter. We enter this chapter with no condemnation, and we close the chapter with no separation. It's a great chapter. We enter with no condemnation, we close with no separation, and in between those two, we're told all things work together for good. All of that's found in chapter 8. All of it's found there. So truly, this is a great chapter. And one of the amazing things we find here is that in this text, there is something that no other religion in the world can offer. There's something no other religion in the world can even imagine, especially after you read Romans chapter 1 all the way through to chapter 7. Because in those seven chapters, we are told that none of us are right in God's eyes, Romans 3:10. In those chapters, we're told that none of us are good in God's eyes, Romans 3:12. We're told that all of us are sinners in God's eyes, Romans 3:23, and that all of us deserve death or eternal separation from God, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. But then, even after we're given spiritual life through faith in Jesus Christ, we have this propensity to sin, don't we? We have this propensity to sin, and it's sort of like this rotting body of flesh that's hanging on to us, that infects us and causes us to want to say, as the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7 and verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death?" And that struggle with sin is something that's going to continue as long as we are in this body of flesh. That struggle of sin is something that we're going to have to wrestle with continually. That's why the Apostle Paul, in verse number 25 of chapter 7, he said, "With the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, who do we serve? The law of sin." See, that's the struggle. That's the tension that we have in our life. And so, therefore, the very next verse after this one, the very next verse should say, here's what it should say: "Therefore, there is guaranteed condemnation to everyone, even for those who claim to know Jesus Christ." That's what it ought to say. That's what religion would make it say. The human way of thinking would surely be, we cannot get off the hook without some sort of payment for our past. That's what we talked about last week, remember? But we have to do something. We have to do something. But as we saw last time, that creates a huge dilemma, because all of us are bankrupt. Not financially, but we're bankrupt spiritually. And therefore, we have nothing to offer God that will pay for our sin or that will clear our record. But as believers in Christ, we have received, as we said a moment ago, we have received the King's pardon. And therefore, chapter 8, verse 1 says this: "There is therefore now no condemnation." There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There are some key words I find in this text that I want us to notice together this evening for the next 45 minutes or so. Now, I'll try not to go that long, okay? First of all, words of summary. There's some words of summary. Notice it in verse number 1, it says, "There is therefore." This is the word of summary. There is therefore. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying that on the basis of everything that he has taught, not just the previous verse, but in every previous verse, that man is sinful, but Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinful men. He's saying here that man cannot save himself, but man can be saved through faith in Christ alone. In fact, that's why he says back in chapter 3, verse 24 and verse number 25, being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. You know what that word means? It simply means to be the full payment of. That there's nothing else due. He paid it all, as we sang tonight. He's paid it in full. He's the propitiation. And God set Him forth to be that full payment, that propitiation, through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. There is therefore, words of summary. Words of summary. But we also not only find words of summary, I want you to notice another one. We find words of safety. Notice it says, there is therefore now. There is therefore now. You see, we do not have to wait to get to heaven to know that we're no longer condemned. We don't have to wait till we reach the golden shore to know that we made it, okay? We don't have to do that. Freedom from condemnation is a blessed assurance that can be enjoyed in this life. We can enjoy that comfort right now. Our eternal life doesn't begin when we get to heaven. It began when we trusted Christ as our personal Savior. And notice the comprehensive sweep of the statement. It does not say there is therefore, to you who are mature, there's no condemnation. Doesn't say that. And it does not say, therefore, to you who are strong, there's no condemnation. No, it just says there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. As humans, we would always want to add such contradiction. We're like a certain businessman I read about. Maybe you've heard this story. A businessman went to a lecture where they were going to teach people about motivation. Any of y'all ever attend a lecture like that? How to be motivated? No? You're lucky. Anyway, the lecturer is giving the lecture, and so he spots it. He says, sir, come on up here. I want to use you for an illustration. And he said, there's this steel beam laying here. It's only about 4 inches wide, but it's laying here on the stage. I want you to walk across that steel beam, and I'll give you this $20 bill. Will you do that? The guy said, well, yeah, sure, I'll do that. So he did it. He walked across that steel beam, got the $20 bill. And then the speaker said, now, sir, let me just ask you another question. Said, would you be willing to walk across this beam if it were 100 feet up in the air between two buildings? And the guy said, no, I wouldn't do that. He said, you would need more motivation, wouldn't you? And the guy said, yeah, I would need more motivation. He said, well, what if I was standing on the opposite building and I had one of your children and I was holding them over the edge and I said, if you don't walk across the beam, I'm going to drop your kid. Would that be motivation enough? Guy stopped and said, well, which kid are you holding? You know, our Heavenly Father is not that way. Our Heavenly Father is not that way. Our Heavenly Father does not show such favoritism. He's motivated, He's determined that He's going to preserve the eternal destiny of every one of His children. Every one of them. Every one of them. No matter who they are. And it begins at the very moment we're saved. It is a present condition. It is therefore now. Therefore now. So we begin with words of summary. There's words of safety. But then I also want you to notice there's words of substitution. Notice it. There is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation. The word translated no in the Greek, it's a very strong term. It's extremely emphatic. Extremely emphatic. The idea is simply that for us as believers in Jesus Christ, condemnation is completely, it is utterly out of the question. It's out of the question. But what is this condemnation? The word relates to the sentencing for a crime. That's what condemnation is all about. It relates to being sentenced for a crime and especially to the penalty that a guilty verdict will demand. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying there is now no penalty for our crimes against God. And by the way, don't ever think that sin is anything less than a crime against God. Because we have broken His law, we have offended His holiness, it is the highest crime imaginable when we sin against God. But I want you to notice something very important here. The Bible does not say, therefore, there are now no grounds for condemnation, or that there is nothing in us that deserves condemnation. Doesn't say that. And the reason why it does not say those things is because there are grounds to accuse us. There are grounds for us to be judged. There are grounds because we are guilty of crimes against God. In fact, the Apostle John said this way in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 8. He said, if we say that we have no sin, if we say we have not committed crimes against God by breaking His law and offending His holiness, if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Again, down in verse number 10, notice what he said. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. Why? Well, because he said all have sinned. And if we say we don't have any sin, then we're saying God has lied. He has misrepresented the truth about us. If we say we have no sin, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So how can the Apostle Paul say that we are free from the condemnation that all of us certainly deserve? Well, the answer is found in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, and down to verse number 10. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8 to 10, here's what it says. It says, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Let me show you what all of that is saying. Great commentary on this is found over in the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul puts it in very simple terms. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, again, He is the propitiation. There's that word again. He is the propitiation. He is the full payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. In other words, here's the point, folks. We shall not be judged for our sins. There is no condemnation because of our guiltiness before God. We shall not suffer because of the crimes we have committed against Him, simply because Jesus Christ already paid the penalty. He already paid the penalty when He took the guilt of our sin upon Himself, and when He died in our place. And it is because of that substitutionary work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, there is now no condemnation for us. The substitute. So we find words of summary, we find words of safety, words of substitution. Number four, there are words of salvation. Words of salvation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In other words, just knowing the facts concerning the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Just knowing all of that. will not deliver us from condemnation. Just knowing all that, going to Sunday school, learning all the verses, singing all the songs, having all the facts memorized, that won't deliver you. That won't deliver you from condemnation. See, in order to be delivered from the condemnation that we deserve, notice the wording, we must be in Christ. Not know about Christ. I mean, it's good if you do. That's where it starts. But that's not enough. You have to be in Christ. You have to be in Christ. And when we are in Christ, we are no longer within the reach of God's wrath. When we're in Him, God's wrath will not touch us. I think an Old Testament event sheds a lot of light on this profound New Testament truth. You're all familiar with the story of Noah, and you know how that wickedness had filled the earth, and finally there came the day when the Lord God commanded Noah there in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 14. He said, I want you to make an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. That's an interesting word there, that word pitch. That word pitch. The word pitch, it was actually used to refer to a tar-like substance. Kind of like that stuff they spray on the road before they lay new asphalt. You know what I'm talking about? That black, gooey, sticky stuff that you don't want to get on your car because it's the devil to get cleaned off, I'll just tell you right now. But at any rate, that black stuff there, and they would use that. They would use that to cover things that would make it waterproof. And so God said, I want you to build this ark, but then I want you to cover it with pitch. I want you to put this tar substance on there so that it would be waterproof. In other words, that pitch would actually protect those inside the ark from the judgments of God that were raging on the outside of the ark. You see what I'm saying? But in order for that to be so, Noah had to obey a very clear commandment. In order for that pitch to protect him from the judgment of God that was going to fall, Noah had to listen to what God said in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, when the Lord said, come thou and all thy house, where? Into the ark. Come into the ark. And the Bible says in chapter 7 and verse 16 that they went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. I like that. Noah didn't shut the door. God did. God shut the door. And so he's in now in the ark, and the pitch there is on the ark, and that pitch is going to keep him safe from the wrath of God that is raging on the outside in that flood. And so as a result of that judgment that fell, the Bible says in chapter 7, verse 23, that every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the earth, both man and cattle, and the creeping thing and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him, and where were they? In the ark. And why were they safe in the ark? Because of the pitch. Because of the pitch that separated them from the wrath of God that was raging on the inside. Now, why is that so important? Why is that such a wonderful picture of what God has done for us? I'll tell you why. That Hebrew word that is translated pitch here in our text, that same Hebrew word is also used in Exodus chapter 30, verse number 15. Look how it's translated. Atonement. Atonement. In other words, just as the pitch on that ark protected Noah and his family from the judgment of God, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it is the atonement that He secured for us by His own blood on the cross that saves us from the penalty, delivers us from the condemnation, frees us from the judgment that we so rightly deserve. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the King's pardon. That's the King's pardon that's been provided for us through Jesus Christ. And I want to say to you tonight, if you've never received that pardon, I trust that you will today. I trust that you will today. And if you have received that pardon that God's loving grace has so freely provided for you through faith in Jesus Christ, then I pray that you'll recognize the wonder of it all. Brother Tim, I like how you said that earlier, talking about never losing the wonder of the salvation that God has given to us. And I pray that we'll always recognize the wonder of it all, and that we'll determine that we're going to respond to this amazing grace and this wonderful salvation. We're going to respond to that by loving God supremely and by serving Him completely, and by worshiping Him wholeheartedly, because He is worthy because of all He's done for us. In Christ, there is therefore right now no condemnation. Do you have that assurance? I hope you do. Heavenly Father.